Now, this morning, what we're going to be doing, we're starting a new series that I've called In Christ. In Christ. For the past few weeks, we're looking at another series called Knowing God. And what we were discussing in that series was, the fact that everlasting life, eternal life, the Bible tells us, starts right here on earth. It's not till we die. And contrary to some of the opinions that we have, eternal life is not just maybe coming to meetings like this. Eternal life is not just reading your Bible, which is part of it. Eternal life is not necessarily all the things that we do in the context of our Christian faith. Jesus said this. He said eternal life is knowing God. So you might say, hang on, how can that be eternal life? Shouldn't I do something more? Isn't there something I need to do to really make my Christian walk worthwhile? Well, you can do all you want, which is great, but all those things that we do are additions. Do you get what I mean? The primary thing is eternal life, which is really having the desire to know God. Yes, we know God by studying our Bibles, by attending meetings like this, but what I'm just saying, or what we said in that series, is that all these things we do all point to knowing Christ, and that's what really counts at the end of the day. So that was kind of like the summary of that series. Today we want to look at something slightly different, and it's in Christ, I've called it. Now, I think we'll look over this in the next few weeks. Now, it appears that this year, for some reason, what God is just placing in my heart is not just the let's go and get it message, you know, let's go out there, tell people about Christ, which we should. But it's more about before we even begin to tell people about Christ, before we even begin to do all those activities, which are good, God wants us to look inward. Leave everything that's external to you. Just, you know, leave those things alone initially. Because God wants us to really focus on Him first. Then as we focus on Him and as we know Him and we know who we are in Christ, not from just black and white scriptures saying, okay, you're this, but really understanding those things and really taking those things to heart. As we take those things to heart, what will happen is that you will change from your inside out automatically. Do you understand? So it's not going to be, oh, I'm a Christian and God says I shouldn't do this, so no. We're not going to come from that angle. It'll be more like, you know what, I really want to know God. And as you know God, God will begin to do something inside of you. And you'll be so surprised that you will begin to change. And you will not realize that you've changed. But the goal is not for you to want to change yourself. The goal is not what I'll call behavior modification. Do you know what behavior modification is? Behavior modification is, if you want to be good, you need to do better. If you want to be good, you need to improve the way you maybe do things, attend church regularly, do this. All those things are good. However, that's not the starting point. All right? So we're looking at in Christ today. And if time permits, I'm going to look at three things. The first one is, what does it mean to be in Christ? Now, as you read through the Bible, there are a lot of verses, there are a lot of things there that say, in Christ Jesus, you're this. In Christ Jesus, you're that. What does that really mean? Well, it means a number of things. But the first thing I want to say is that when you become born again, automatically, you are in Christ. For anyone that is born again, that believes in Christ, in the death and the resurrection of Christ by faith, you become automatically embedded in Christ. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So we're saying, what does it mean to be in Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Let's look at the NIV version. It says, for we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. So this is saying that for anyone who's born again, we're all baptized into the body of Christ. So there's no race, there's no color, there's no status in Christ. It says all those things are just peripheral. Everyone in Christ is part of one big family. Do you understand? Now, if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28, it says something further there as well. It says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. When it says sons of God here, it includes women as well. So it's just a term to say mankind. So women and men as well. It says, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourself with Christ. Again, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And it says here, we're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So just reiterating the point that anyone who's born again automatically, whether you realize it or not, from the spiritual perspective, from the spiritual perspective, you're in Christ. But from the physical perspective, you might still look the same. Do you understand? And you might not be aware that really something has changed inside of you. And you're like, I don't feel different. That's fine. You don't have to feel different. Do you understand? So, in Christ is everyone that is born again. Now, the other thing as well, what does it mean to be in Christ? It means that when you are in Christ, you have a new life. Do you understand? There is something about you that changes, that you're not really aware of sometimes, but something changes in you. You have a new life inside of you that, and that life is not visible. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So you might say, you know, hang on, I don't feel different. I still look the same way I looked. I still, do you understand? But the Bible tells us here, truly, you are different. And the way you begin to know what it is that is different about you is what we're doing at the moment, looking through the Bible. You know, and as you look through the Bible with the witness of the Holy Spirit, you will now begin to realize that, you know what? The Bible is actually saying these things. The Bible is saying these things about you, although you might not be aware of these things. And that's what I'm doing today. So it signifies that you have a new life. So being in Christ means that your life is new as far as God is concerned. Now, I'm just going to go to the next one. So I've said, what does it mean to be in Christ? Everyone who's born again, who has accepted Christ by faith, becomes automatically in Christ and you're a new creature, a new person. Now, the second thing I want to look at is this. Now, you might ask, why am I talking about this today? You know, I'm talking about this today because unless you truly understand what has happened to you in Christ, you will not really live the fulfilled Christian life that God wants you to live. Do you understand? You will not. I mean, if, for example, the way I see it is this. You know, there are people that have certain talents and gifts in them. They're totally unaware of it. Some people might be really good singers like Pastor Benson. Sorry, I just had to put that in. Why are you laughing? It's like, I'm just kidding. So what I'm just saying is that some people might be, I'll use like singing or playing an instrument. And as far as they're concerned, that's somebody else. Has nothing to do with them. You tell them, you know what, why don't you just try out on the keyboard or something and all that, and they're like, oh, no, I'm not going to have any of that. And they just, you know, go. And you just kind of like almost just force them to it, and you just say, just play a few chords, and they play. And oh, really? I can play. And before you know it, they become like the chief keyboardist. And what? So what has happened is this. They go home, and after a while, they think back and they say, hang on, how did this happen to me? I didn't know I could actually do this at all. Do you understand? It is the same way about knowing who you are in Christ. There are certain things about you that you absolutely do not, you're not aware of at all. There are certain things about you that you have in you that you're not aware of. And it takes the Bible and maybe the pastor, you know, flipping the Bible in front of you and say, look, this is who you are now. You might not know that this is who you are, but this is what the Bible says you are. Do you understand what I mean? So in Christ, the Bible tells us that there is something that has happened to you. Now, how do you begin to go, how do you begin to live the life that Christ has put in you? How do you know about it? Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Paul was telling the people, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will, what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So the Bible is telling us here that the only way that you and I will begin to know who we are in Christ is as we expose ourselves to the Word of God. As we let the Word of God show us who we really are in Christ. Do you get what I mean? Now, so that's one thing that we need to realize. Now, a lot of us are used to, so for example, if I said, okay, let's start reading the Bible. The Bible says a number of things that, it says a number of things about you. You know what comes to our minds automatically? Oh my goodness. You now scan. You scan yourself and say, what have I done wrong today? What did I do wrong yesterday that I need to correct? Then you now think to yourself, that my neighbor, I said I abused her because she threw that thing over the fence. I'm not going to do that again. That's one tick. Okay, I'm not going to do that. What did I... And you look for all the things that you've done wrong. And you say, if I can stop doing these things, I'm good. Then, let's say you have a list. Your list might be different from mine. Do you understand? There's someone that I was speaking to a while ago. And he said he was in a car park. And you know how it is when you're like limited car park space and car, what's that called? Parking space. And there are two of you in the car. One person says, you know, get down and just stay there. Let me just reverse. And the person that is in the car comes, and before they get there, you're standing there. This is a real life story, by the way, but I'm not going to say who it is. They were standing in the car parking lot. Then another car comes and just tries to drive in. And the guy is standing. Did I say guy? The person, let's make that anonymous. Erase that guy. The person is standing there, and someone just, you know, wiggles the car in and says, can't you see I'm here? Says, you're not supposed to reserve car spaces. Puts them in. And you know what this person says? The person now says, a number of things went through their mind. They had A, B, C. Don't worry, we're not going to disclose who this person is. A, I really tell this person off. But do I want to do that? You know, Pastor Benson might just take me up on this. B, just accept it and say, you know what? You know, Jesus loves you, and I'm just how do you? So we have a list of these things that maybe we say, okay, I didn't slap that guy yesterday. God, I'm good. I didn't do this, this, and this. And we have this list that we do so that when we come to God and Pastor Benson is saying in Christ, you're like, Pastor Benson, that message is not really for me. I'm good. When you come to God, you're like, God, not like this sometimes, but when you're like, God, I'm good. I didn't do this. I didn't do this. Woo. Yes. No. That's not what the Bible is talking about here, about being in Christ. The Bible is talking about things that are slightly deeper than that. Things that form the fundamental basis of your life. Not the things you do. The things that form the basis of your life. Your understanding of God. And I believe that our understanding of the fundamentals of how God sees us in this new life that we have will go a much, much, much longer way than us just having a list. We'll look at some of those things today. So the first thing is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, which we looked at. You and I need to understand and accept the fact that whether we see it or not at this point in time, whether physically we're still the same, God has changed you once you become born again. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, as we looked at earlier, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So the first thing that you and I have to understand is this. We need to embrace the fact that once you are born again, you are new. I tell you, you inside of you, you are brand new before God. All things have passed away. All those things, the way you were before, no longer exists. I tell you, what that means is this. There is something about you that has changed. So that's the first thing that you and I need to agree on. The second thing is this. There is something that God, that you need to understand about God, that I need to understand about God. And it will help us to change our perspective a bit. I'll look at, those are the things that we're looking at. John chapter 15 verse 9. John chapter 15 verse 9. The second thing you need to realize is this. It says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. The second thing you and I need to understand is that God loves each and every one of us. Now, there's this popular scripture we quote, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him will not perish. So sometimes we believe that, yes, God loves the sinner, but once the sinner becomes born again, then that love... that love disappears. Now God doesn't love you like that anymore. Now God wants to really deal with you. And God has a stick in his hand. And he's saying, you know what? Hey, what did you do yesterday? You know, did you say hello to Pastor Benson? Did you give Pastor Benson a Christmas present? I'm just joking about that. But what I'm saying is this. You and I need to really realize that God loves you and I, irrespective of what we've done. Now, I'll put it in this case. You know that you have a father that has kids. There's child A, child B. Child A might behave better than child B. And the father might say, you know what, I'm not really pleased about the way child A is behaving. But it doesn't mean the father doesn't love both of them. Do you understand? So God... we need to really understand that God is our Father. He says he's our Father and he loves you and I. Now, when we misbehave, he's not happy when we misbehave. He wants us to behave properly because of the consequences that we will face from the world. But God loves you and I, irrespective. Jesus said it here. Now, what does this have to do with you being in Christ? You know, the perspective that you have about God will determine your Christian walk. So if you think God is constantly angry with you, I mean, how about if you had like a dad who was constantly angry with you? The only thing that you got from that dad is like a whipping all the time. You won't be too excited. You'll be too excited. You understand? But how about if you had a dad like Pastor Benson, who just would come with gifts all the time. I'm quite sorry, I'm just kidding. You know, gifts all the time and all that. You'd love to be around that dad. Do you understand? So you and I need to understand that God really loves us. Truly. Do you understand? Now, the next thing is this. Number three is Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. The third thing, I'll look at just a few of those. It says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The third thing that you need to realize in Christ is that you are forgiven.
True.
You are forgiven. Even if you haven't forgiven yourself, you are forgiven. Now, what this means is this. Some people will say, you know what? I've done so much. You know, can God really just, okay, I'm born again now. Can God really just forget and forgive all those things that, all those things I did before? You know? Can he really do it? Maybe he will forgive some of them, just a little bit, but I have to bear the guilt. No. The Bible says you are forgiven, not because you're good, not because you deserve to be forgiven. None of us deserve to be forgiven. The Bible makes it very clear that the forgiveness that we have received from God has nothing to do with us at all. It has to do with the riches of God's grace. So God's grace is saying that, you know what, you do not deserve this. However, I forgive you anyway. Do you understand? So the third thing is that you are forgiven. In Christ, you are forgiven. The fourth thing is, if we look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13. I have about two more. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Put your bookmark on that one. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. He says, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Put your finger on that one and we'll look at the last one, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 21. So we've said, one, you're a new person in Christ. God loves you. Number two, in Christ, you are forgiven in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. So it tells us God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What this means is this. In Christ, God sees you as righteous. Now, what does it mean to be righteous? It means he sees you as being perfect. Do you get what I mean? At least we're reading it in the Bible together. It says that we might become the righteousness of God. So what this means is that God sees you and I as righteous in Christ. So he's not dealing with us according to our own righteousness. I mean, we try and do stuff, which is fine. But we need to understand is that when God looks at you in Christ, he looks at you through the eyes of Christ. He looks at you through Christ. So when he sees you, he sees Christ. That's why he says we have become the righteousness of God. So the fourth thing in Christ is that you and I are righteous. The fifth thing that we'll look at is Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Now, I'll tell us why I'm saying all this in a minute. The fifth one is Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, do you know that you might feel forgiven? You might accept that. As okay, God has forgiven me, but you still have condemnation following you around. You feel condemned. You feel just bad about yourself. Do you understand? The Bible says, in Christ, there is no condemnation. So, don't feel condemned. Now, if you do something wrong, apologize to God. Say, you know what, God? Here, I just misbehaved. I'm sorry. And that's the end of it. Do you understand what I mean? Just say, God, I'm sorry. That's the end of it. And you don't go back to that thing again. Not, God, I'm sorry, then, oh my goodness, you know, God, that thing I did was really bad. Can you really? No. Because if you don't address that in your life, again, it will hinder who you are in Christ, your relationship with God. The last thing I want to mention in Christ, about it being in Christ, is from the book of John chapter 20 verse 31. John chapter 20 verse 31. It says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have eternal life in his name." So the other thing, the last thing I want to mention this morning is the fact that in Christ, we have eternal life. In Christ, we have eternal life. And I think when we're doing the Bible review today, it was mentioned about something was mentioned about death, to say that for the Christian, when the Christian dies, it's not the end, it's not death that is just finished. It's like the Christian takes off this body and steps into another realm, and life continues with God, a life that is even better than the life that we have here. So in Christ, we have eternal life. So why am I saying all this today? I'm saying that we're new in Christ. We're loved by God. We're forgiven. We're righteous. We should not have condemnation, and we have eternal life in Christ. The reason I'm saying all this is because if you're to really move forward in your Christian walk, if I am to move forward in my Christian walk, these are some of the fundamental things that I need to settle in my heart. These are some of the fundamental things that you need to settle in your heart. Or should I say, begin to settle in your heart and accept and embrace. Because as you do that, something will begin to happen to you. You'll be able to approach God freely. You will not be scared of God. You will not be terrified of God because of one thing or the other, because God wants you to be close to Him. And as you become close to God, and as you begin to embrace all these things, something will begin to happen to you. The new life that Christ has given each and every one of us will begin to show on the outside. And as you do that, something will happen. Months might pass, years might pass, and you just realize that, hang on, I'm a changed person. It becomes apparent suddenly. How do you do that? By praying and fasting? No. Praying and fasting is good. By studying your Bible? That's good. But that's not what starts the job going. By praying? That's good. But that's not what starts the job going. The fundamental that you and I need to understand is this. Once we have all these things settled in our hearts, I can tell you, life with God will be exciting. Life in Christ will be joyous. Do you understand what I mean? I remember when I became born again, that was in 1996. That's about 23 years ago. Something happened to me. My life was totally transformed. And the reason I'm taking time to explain this is because I understood, I don't know how I did, I understood something about God, and my life just changed around. I've been excited since then, I tell you. So for me, being a Christian is fantastic. I absolutely love it, I tell you. I don't know how to explain it. Even if I weren't a pastor, I would still be excited about Christ. I'll be excited about God. Why? Because I've come to understand these things. Do you understand? So that our lives will not be, you know what? Oh my goodness. They look at you and yours like, what's happening? Oh, I'm a Christian. I can't do this. But, you know, come on. No. It's exciting. And I think I'll just calm down here so I won't get too carried away. But I'm going to stop there today. So what I just want us to think about today is that, you know what? God loves you and I. He has changed you and I. And there is something that He has for you. It is called eternal life. And it starts when? Now. Amen? Amen. Let's all rise up together this morning and just pray.